Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Why AEW is showing the CM Punk and Jack Perry all-in footage on tonight's AEW Dynamite. There's a major change to AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door 3. A new signing will debut imminently on WWE television. And there's an update on Julia's WWE status. Hello, and welcome to the Solo Wednesday News here at What Culture Wrestling. Myself, Andrew Pollard. I hope you're well. I hope you're good. I hope you're having the best possible day. Again, mild apologies for the slightly raspy voice. I am getting better, but I went and sat in the cold and the rain to watch the football last night. Wrexham 1-4-1. The town they're getting promoted. Come on, the town. Anyway, wrestling talk, and more specifically, AEW talk, and more specifically than that, AEW Dynamite tonight. This being the Dynamite where AEW are going to be showing footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry's altercation backstage at All In last year. This, of course, being the altercation that resulted in the firing with cause of CM Punk and also the removal from all television, AEW television at least, of Jack Perry. Now, Jack Perry, Jungle Boy, the former Jungle Boy, has resurfaced in New Japan Pro Wrestling earlier this year, now a part of the House of Torture, but he's not been seen on AEW programming since All In. Now, the decision to show this footage tonight is one that's, I don't even want to say if it's split opinion, because most people seem to be against it. There's even the biggest of AEW fans, some of them are like, Tony, mate, what are you doing? Why are you showing this? It's footage of somebody that is no longer with the company, who is the biggest star the company's ever had, who is now a massive star in the biggest company in the world. And the other person in the footage is somebody that has not been seen on your TV since All In, and you refuse to use since then. So whether you agree with it or not, we're going to be getting this footage tonight. Now, Tony Khan has addressed to Sports Illustrated why he is showing this footage. As Tony put it here, AEW has a great track record on delivering what we advertise, and it is real footage. The Young Bucks will show backstage footage from All In, the most important event in AEW history, the world record holder for the most tickets ever sold for any wrestling record, over 81,035 total. And it was an important night backstage as well. As for that ticket sold, that's questionable. That's a little bit questionable, but that's another topic for another day. The decision is based on putting on the best show for AEW, as well as driving interest for Dynamite and our Dynasty pay-per-view on April 21st. This is real-life footage that affected many people, and it will air for the first time on TBS during Dynamite. So that's Tony's explanation as to why this footage is going to be airing. Essentially, he's driving interest for Dynamite and for Dynasty, and also a part of this as well is that we've got the Young Bucks versus FTR at Dynasty for the vacant AEW tag team titles. And on that regard, Tony said that there is a good reason why the Young Bucks are showing this video, tying it to that match. Of course, FTR, Dax and Cash are not only the best tag team on the planet, but are very close friends with CM Punk. So if we're going to use this footage, this fight between CM Punk and Jack Perry to play into the rivalry between FTR and the Bucks, I don't see any positives coming out of this. Well, there is the positive. There's a clear positive that, yes, this segment tonight will get a strong rating. People will tune in purposely to watch that. Some of us, like myself here in the UK, may even stay up to watch Dynamite live at 1 a.m. just put on the hope of they're going to open the show with this. They probably won't open they won't open the show with it. But that's the intrigue it brings to it. People want to see this. People are massively intrigued to see this. So you will get a strong rating for that segment. Maybe some people will stick around for a bit more of Dynamite. But after that, I mentioned it, I think it was yesterday or the day before, so apologies if I'm going through the same bits. But it's just, I don't see the wider, bigger positives to this. I don't see how AEW wins, regardless of what footage is shown. Whether it's, CM Punk looks like an absolute idiot, and I don't know, or maybe he gets embarrassed in this fight, or maybe he's that crazed wild man who jumps on Jack Perry as soon as Jack gets backstage, and it's all CM Punk's. What's the benefit of that to AEW? And I see people saying it's AEW's way to put their side of the story across. Who cares? Let it go. It's gone. It's opening a wound that didn't need to be open, and it's a wound that isn't gonna result in that much of a benefit for your own product. Focus on that at this time. CM Punk, yes, he brought up that the topic with Ariel Helwani. Well, he didn't. That's the thing. He was asked about it by a journalist, and he answered the question. And we all know that CM Punk was gonna, this topic was gonna be brought up in discussion for him at some point down the line, and it's happened. It's happened now. He got asked about it. He answered it. He gave his side of things. But AEW, there's just, I don't know. It's not a great look to me. It's just, yeah. But we'll see. We can only judge this on what the footage shows. And the other part of it as well is that this footage is going to be what AEW wants to show you. AEW has this footage. They're not going to show you anything that makes the company look massively bad. So is it going to be a true reflection of what happened at All In? Nobody, unless the people who were there, are going to know the full details of it. I won't know it. You won't know it. Tony Khan will. CM Punk will. Jack Perry will. Samoa Joe will. But the rest of us, we're going to see AEW's telling of this story. Much like we heard CM Punk's telling of the story last week. I don't know. I just think this is such a really daft move. Lots of people comparing it to latter-day WCW. I think that is a little harsh, but it's not a million miles away. Right, moving on to something else, which is supposedly not a million miles away, is the next Forbidden Door event. Now, while AEW has not confirmed this as of yet, reports have stated that this year's Forbidden Door will be taking place in June, so that's, just 2 months away. Now, and that would follow in the tradition of the past two Forbidden Door shows, which both took place in June. And this year's Forbidden Door was going to be from New York's Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is a hell of a venue. AEW, of course, has run there before. But that has all changed. There is no longer going to be Arthur Ashe Stadium for Forbidden Door. This was from Andrew Zarian, who was speaking on the very first edition of Fightful's Beyond the Bell podcast, who noted that Forbidden Door is, Arthur Ashe is out. It is no longer be happening from Arthur Ashe Stadium. Fightful adds on to this, though, that seemingly the major reason for this is due to New Japan Pro Wrestling not wanting to split the high production cost of running a venue like Arthur Ashe Stadium. Although New Japan has since denied those reports, but that is what's being reported. There's no word on where Forbidden Door will be taking place this year, though, as at this time. Andrew Zarian did say he's heard some rumblings of a certain location. Did not say what that was, but he did state outright that it would not be Madison Square Garden, for those thinking that maybe somehow AEW and New Japan will be running their MSG. Although it's not just AEW and New Japan this year, because reports last month noted that CMLL and Stardom will be a part of this year's Forbidden Door. So Forbidden Door's shaping up to be, in terms of companies, the biggest event in the Forbidden Door history. But the other part of it for me is, I don't know, is it just the name itself, the concept? Is it a Forbidden Door if we see New Japan wrestlers on AEW programming most weeks? No. Is it a Forbidden Door when we're seeing CML wrestlers on New Japan? Obviously, that's on AEW. Obviously, that's cut back a little bit lately. But no, it's not. I don't know. And what was it, Tony Storm at the weekend saying that the Forbidden Door is always open? Why is it forbidden then if it's always open? It's like anything. The more you do something, the more you watered down the uniqueness of it. It was great, the first Forbidden Door, oh my God, AEW, New Japan, blah, 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 this is amazing. But when you're seeing those two brands in particular, you know, cross paths on a, if not weekly basis, a monthly basis, fortnightly basis, why is it special when it comes to a big pay-per-view? Yes, the match is going to be great, and that is a big thing for a lot of the AEW fan base. The matches will be brilliant. I'm not going to sit here and say that, man, I really didn't want to see Bryan Danielson versus Kyuchiro Okada last year. What's the specialness about that? But yeah, anyway, moving away from Forbidden Door and over to WWE and over to, this is something that makes me really, really happy. Of all the stories that have come out over WrestleMania week, all the big news stories, all the big topics of conversation, one of the ones I put the biggest smile on my face is Jacob Fatu has signed with WWE. Now, this is no breaking news. This was a news that came out over the weekend, really, with Fatu telling people as of Wednesday last week that he signed with WWE. He was subsequently pulled from the GCW show he was supposed to be on Saturday. And so Fatu has signed with WWE. That's not a news story here. The news story is, this comes from Dave Meltzer on the latest edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, who noted that Fatu will be debuting on WWE TV soon and will receive an immediate push. So that's very promising, because in case you haven't guessed, I'm kind of a bit of a fan of Jacob Fatu. And you will be too if you've not seen him before, because the dude is just ridiculously talented. Still only 31, one of the best big men in the game. Samoan Werewolf, a former MLW World Champion, also competed for GCW, for House of Glory, for New Japan. Just this like beastly mix of athleticism, power, aggression, intimidation. Fatu's the man. He's I'm looking forward to seeing what happens to him on a bigger stage. Now, this is someone that I first saw in MLW. Jeez, man, would it be 2019, when MLW was running really regularly here in the UK on TV, on one of the random channels? I cannot remember, but it was like you had, there was Fatu, there was Contra, the Contra unit, there was Filthy Tom Lawler, you had MJF and the Dynasty, there was the Hart Foundation, Sammy Callahan was kicking around, good old Mance Warner, we had Loki, LA Park, the Von Erichs, Selena De La Renta. It was good times. It was good times. Fatu's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, somebody take a chance on him. WWE have taken a chance on him, finally. And he'll be on TV soon, imminently. That's the reports here. If you're not familiar with Jacob Fatu, he is part of the Samoan Dynasty. So, of course, that is speculation that he would be doing something with the Bloodline. Realistically, I mean, could we see him on Friday, as soon as Friday on SmackDown? I would not rule it out whatsoever. And if you're wondering about the heritage of Fatu, he is the son of the Tonga Kid. The Tonga Kid is the twin brother of Rikishi, which means that Jake Fatu is cousins with the Usos and Solo Sikoa. It means he's also related to Roman Reigns, to The Rock, to Yokozuna, to Umaga, to Rosie. You get the idea. He is part of that massive, massive family. And interestingly, over the weekend, he did tweet out a picture, or post a picture on X, of the Islanders and Bobby Heenan. Now, the Islanders are a tag team of the Tonga Kid, Jacob Fatu's father, and Haku. Haku, of course, being the father of Tama Tonga, a Tama Tonga who is believed to have signed with WWE early in the year. So already it's like, okay, so we're going to get Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga as a tag team, which that could be a lot of fun. But either way, whatever they do with Fatu, it's got my attention, and it should have your attention. And if you're not familiar with him, you will be soon. And he's just a really talented dude.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And speaking of really talented people, Julia, who appeared at NXT Stand and Deliver over the weekend, spotted in the front row with William Regal and the former Stardom co-founder, Rossy Ogawa. People have been speculating, like, what does this mean for Julia? Is she signed? What's going to be going on? Because while WWE has done this, well, NXT has done this a lot over the years with takeovers, where they'd have, you know, a new signing in the front row or appear in the crowd. Say Drew McIntyre was one that comes to mind. Asuka was another one that comes to mind, or Kana as she was billed as at that point in time. It doesn't always mean that they've signed with the company. Kota Ibushi being the prime example of that. A takeover Dallas in 2016, he was there with Sho Funaki, but Kota ultimately did not sign with WWE. Fightful reports, though, that Julia, yes, she is indeed joining WWE. Doesn't state that she's outright signed yet, but she's made the decision to sign with WWE. The key figures in this decision were said to be William Regal and Rossi Ogawa, the two people she was spotted with at Stand and Deliver. And while she will be finishing up her existing commitments, including helping Rossi Ogawa launch his new promotion, it seems that Julia could realistically maybe debut in NXT at any time, because while Rossi returned to Japan on Tuesday, he returned alone and Julia has remained in the US. So read into that what you will. But yeah, Stand and Deliver, it was cool to see her there. I mean, I think a lot of us half expected her to be there. In the build-up to that, there are obviously news reports that, oh, Julia's been spotted getting on the plane to America, although she said she was going to the Himalayas to shave off one eyebrow, which was, that popped me. But yeah, those of us who watched Stand and Deliver and saw her there, she seemed quite emotional just with the reaction that the crowd gave her. And on that front, this Fightful report notes that she was rushed to the front row under a cloak and was very genuinely, legitimately overwhelmed by the positive response to her from those in attendance, which is always nice to see. And she was also in attendance at WrestleMania, where she had a performer credentials, when you have your little tag of like, like, I have some of these here. These aren't WrestleMania ones, so at all. But you get the idea, those things that it says, her said performer. So yes, Julia is on her way to WWE, in case you were wondering. Just to wrap things up here with a few questions before my voice taps out for the day. Travis Zachary's got in touch. Hey, Travis. If Cody ever did turn heel, what kind of heel do you see him being? Also, do you think do you think WWE has seen him to where he can't turn heel? That's a really interesting question, because you can't rule out anybody turning heel. You could literally, Cody Rhodes could turn heel on Friday on SmackDown. He could turn up on Friday, do something horrible, be a heel. There we go. It's done. You can turn him heel. Will you turn him heel is the other question, because why would you do that with certain people? John Cena, there were times to turn John Cena heel. WWE opted not to do that because merchandise, brother, that's a big deal. Yes, people do buy merchandise for heels, but if you're someone like John Cena and you've got kids buying every variety, every variation, every color of your t-shirts, your wristbands, headbands, caps, jorts, whatever, figures, action figures, if you're doing that and kids are buying so much stuff, you turn heel, a big bulk of that goes away, and that's merchandise numbers for WWE, that's merchandise numbers and money for John Cena that he'd be losing out on, and that's where somebody else hopefully steps up. But again, if you're Cena, it's like, well, that person's getting the big percentage of merch now, not me, because I'm not selling as much. So it all comes down to business, really. Do I rule out Cody Rhodes ever turning heel? You can't say that at this stage. You can't rule out anything, because Cody's, what is he, 38, I believe. So plenty of life left in Cody Rhodes, plenty of his career left to run. So there could be a heel turn down the line. I mean, we might get to a point with Cody where, let's remember how hot John Cena was, how popular John Cena was when his rise to prominence. He had that, was it WrestleMania 20, the US title win, the following year winning the world title, his first world title. And it's like, okay, this guy is white hot. Everybody loves him. He's the biggest babyface in the industry. Nobody's against him. Nobody's booing him, really. And then that reaction sours. So it is possible. Cody's at that point now where not everybody, because there's always some people, but the majority of people absolutely adore Cody Rhodes. He is the baby-kissing, granny-hugging, classic babyface who says the right things, who is a little bit cheesy, but walks that line really well of being slightly cheesy, but still sounding authentic and genuine and coming across like that. He does all the work that comes with a top babyface. I don't mean in the ring, I mean away from the ring. I mean all the press responsibilities, the media responsibilities, all the charity work, all the meet and greets with kids. In terms of that, you've got just the entrance alone where giving the weight belt out to somebody. Yeah, he ticks all of those boxes of, yeah, this is the guy. Just to look at this the other way than Travis, and we were to turn him heel, what sort of heel could he be? I mean, there are different routes you can go with it. You could literally just go with like the megalomaniac, egomaniac, all the success has gone to his head, cocky prick heel, where like, I'm better than all of you, look at this, look what I've done. That's an option there. You could have the resentful heel who is sick of people talking about his father and his brother, and it's like, I am my own person, which we're not at that point yet, but that could be a motivation, because Dusty does come up a lot in this, and I think it's great. I love to hear Dusty Rhodes being talked about on WWE TV, but that is one way you could go if there was gonna be a heel turn. Or you could just be, I don't know, he's sick of somebody else taking his limelight. There's so many ways you can go with a heel turn right now. I mean, literally, but what, 4 days away from Cody Rhodes having one of the most emotional moments in modern pro wrestling history, closing out a phenomenal night two of WrestleMania. I think we were all Samantha Irvin on that night. How good is she, man? So you've got that. You've got the Raw as well on Monday. And already people are like, oh, when's he going to turn heel? Soak it in. Enjoy the babyface run. It's not often we get a babyface like this who feels so authentic, who is so authentic. So just enjoy the ride for now. A heel turn may come down the line, but that's ways off. Hector Garcia III got in touch. Hey, Hector. Thoughts on anyone that is not currently in the world or universal title or women's title scene closing out WrestleMania, say, 5 years from now? Maybe Braun, Gunther, Jade, Bianca, MJF, another. Big thanks to you for filling in for the crew and keeping the news rolling. Oh, thanks for that, Hector. Yes, I just on that one, the normal crew, normal service will be resumed tomorrow. I believe the lads are landing back, or they may have landed back already from Philadelphia. So you won't be seeing me tomorrow, which some people will say was a good thing. So, yeah. Anyway, back to this question. Who can I see that isn't in the title picture right now headlining the WrestleMania in 5 years? I mean, the first one you named there is to me, is nailed on. Bron Breakker is just, yeah, that the sky is the rocket for that guy. Gunther, yeah, you named some great shouts there. Bron Breakker, Gunther, Jade Cargill, Bianca, MJF. They've all got shouts of headlining WrestleMania, especially if you class headliners being, you know, night one or night two. Right now, Jade Cargill is a way off in terms of in-ring ability to be in that position, but in terms of sheer persona, star power, presence, A+. She's there already. If she can get her in-ring game to match that level, then yeah, you've got a WrestleMania main event there. Bianca Belair has already main evented WrestleMania with Sasha Banks in just a brilliant, brilliant match. So Bianca can easily get back there. You look across the roster, Bron Breakker, Gunther, like you said, MJF. If MJF signs with WWE, yeah, there's no reason why he can't headline at WrestleMania. CM Punk obviously is another one who's not in the title picture right now. But looking down at NXT, I mean, not even NXT, looking at recent call-ups, Tiffany Stratton, that's a special, special talent there, Tiffany Stratton. She has got all the tools to go. It's quite a frame from Cameron Grimes to the moon. Oh, Cameron Grimes, man, what did you do to my boy? But anyway, yeah, Tiffany Stratton's another one that can go there. There's a lot of talent right now in WWE. I mean, Sami Zayn could realistically headline a WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, I don't know with that if there's, but again, it's all the way, it's how you spin things. You can make anything work realistically. But yeah, I think Sami, there was a story there with Sami to be told where I would have liked that he didn't win the IC, that IC title match was one of my favorite matches of the weekend from WWE or any of the promotions. Because it was, man, it was a good weekend of just taking in wrestling for like days and days. Triller Plus on Triller, just there was a lot of time spent on that. If you've not seen it as well, go out of your way to see Mustafa Ali, an amazing red for House of Glory and Revolver, their crossover show on, was that on the Friday, I think it was? Yeah, brilliant. But yes, there was a lot of wrestling to take in. It was a good time. But for me, I would have liked to have maybe not seen Sami win that match per se, but have a bigger story of him going after a world title, maybe at next year's WrestleMania, maybe against someone like Gunther, maybe against Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, of course, somebody he has never beaten. So, but yeah, I've gone around the house there, so I'm going to get to this last question quickly. Andy McManus got in touch. Hey, Andy. Not to sound heartless, but do you think Cody will ever be in a storyline where Dusty isn't mentioned at least once? That ties on to what I was saying before. I just feel that Cody's name and his stature are big enough now that Dusty doesn't need to be mentioned. He doesn't need to be mentioned. Cody Rhodes is the biggest star in professional wrestling right now, you could say. I mean, obviously, there is The Rock, because The Rock's technically involved in wrestling. No, he's gone away now. So, Roman Reigns is massive. CM Punk is massive. Bryan Danielson, John Moxley, Kazuchika Okada. But to me, Cody Rhodes is the biggest name in the industry right now. CM Punk. But Cody Rhodes is the answer to that. So yeah, of course, his name value, his stature, we don't need to talk about Dusty in to get Cody over to make him feel like a big deal, because he is a big deal, the biggest deal in the business. As for the constant references to Dusty, I don't know. That's not something you have to go, because I mean, leading up to this moment at WrestleMania, Dusty was part of that story. That part of the story, again, with the story, every time with the story. But part of the story, part of the ride, should we say, was an element of it was, yeah, okay, Cody wants to win that world title. Okay, Cody wants to make amends for last year when he came up short against Roman Reigns, who was screwed by the bloodline. But part of that story is that Dusty Rhodes never won this title, or this title that traces back through the lineage. Dusty Rhodes was was essentially robbed of that belt by superstar Billy Graham in the Garden. And so part of the story is that, yes, Cody is doing this for Dusty. Cody's trying to do what his father could never do, that his father, in some eyes, was robbed of. So Dusty has to be mentioned in this angle, this element of the story, this portion of it. From now, not necessarily. He's done that. He's done what his daddy never could. He's got to his big moment to the mountaintop. So, yeah, we don't need to mention Dusty Rhodes every week on TV. But as I mentioned before, when I hear the name Dusty Rhodes, it puts a smile on my face. It just, there's a lot of good memories there. So I don't mind it. But yeah, not every rivalry has to revolve around it. And when The Rock mentions Dusty Rhodes, that's because genuinely The Rock has talked years ago about Dusty Rhodes being his hero growing up. That was who he wanted to be. But that and Soul Man Rocky Johnson. So that's a legitimate thing now. So say Cody, whatever feud is next for him, I don't think we'll be hearing about Dusty. Whatever is after that, I don't think we'll be hearing about Dusty. But then there are a section of performers, current WWE superstars, who trained under Dusty, who are Dusty's kids. Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. So there's always that tie there, that bond that Cody shares with those people, because they have that common factor of that they shared time with the Dusty Rhodes American Dream. So yeah, so it's one where there's just so many people there with ties to Dusty, and so many elements of Cody's career are tied to Dusty. But yeah, it's something we don't need to hear about from every single rivalry, every single feud. And so we'll see how it goes from here with whoever is next for Cody Rhodes. And that is me done. Now my voice is failing, so I'm going to get out of here. I've been Andrew Pollard here from the What Culture Wrestling. This has been the Solo Wednesday News. There's another fantastic video somewhere floating around here. Again, the normal lads will be back tomorrow. I'll be back as usual on Sunday. Thanks for putting up with me for the last few days. Have a good day, the best day possible.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.